Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome to this dance space. Folks, it is a new day. And as always, I'm looking forward to delving into the stories that live both on and beyond the stage with you. And so as we come into the space, let me set the tone for today's broadcast by inviting you in to consider the following. What happens when we explore humanity's power to ignite change? Well, we'll be reflecting on that question this morning and the return of the highly anticipated production of Burn, Baby, Burn. Coming up on today's show, choreographer and performer, intimacy coordinator, and associate producer of Côté Danse, Anissa Tejpar, will be joining me in the first part of the show. And later, dancer, choreographer, and screen performer, Carlene Zabules, will be sitting down with me behind the mic. Both are in the house today to share about the production and also the many facets of their artistic work and practices. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here to CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with more of Turnout Radio right after this. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. My first guest today, Anissa Tejpar, is a Dora Mavermore Award-winning choreographer, performer, and intimacy coordinator. As associate producer with Côté Danse and creative assistant to Guillaume Côté, Anissa plays an integral role in the development and remounting of the company's productions. It is my great, great pleasure to welcome Anissa back to the show. Anissa, welcome to Turnout Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. I know I've been on a couple of times, but always in different capacities, so it's always wonderful to talk to you.
Every time I have the opportunity to share space with you, I'm always intrigued by our conversations, always. And I find that our chats invite much exploration. And so I'm sitting here with bated breath, waiting today's.
I think yeah. Also because your audience should know that sometimes we run into each other at, you know, community yeah. events, dance events. And every time, of course, we're drawn to each other. We're like two little magnets. But ultimately, I think because we overlap in spaces so much, but also have such different careers and like such different experiences in the dance kind of sector, we have so much to talk about. There's always a new leaf to turn, and it makes the topic kind of endless because we like the same stuff. We're nerdy about the same stuff.
We are. Well, thank you again for joining me on the show. such a pleasure to be here with you. And I was reflecting on the last time that you were with me on the program. We had a conversation about the vital work of intimacy coordination, which spoke to many things, including defining consent and filtering care for those on stage, the bystanders in the studio, and the audiences who are affected by weighted acts being performed. Such an intriguing conversation. And so before we visit that frame, how is Anisa? How are you doing as we come into the space?
I'm doing well. I mean, I'm always in a general state of good because I'm lucky. I'm lucky to be able to do all the things I want to do. Now, is it stressful and our timeline sometimes challenging? And do we have, you know, does the curtain always go up at 8? Yep. But actually, to be able to every day do things that are well within my skill set that I enjoy doing with people that I like and in a community that I enjoy truly. So you can complain until you're blue in the face, but in the end, I chose it all. So honoring my my wins and then, you know, taking feedback from my losses too.
You know, what comes to mind is that you hold space beautifully for other people. And so I'm curious, as you're sharing all of the above, what does Anisa do to hold space and care for you?
That's a great question. And I think as someone who all of the roles and the hats that I wear are in, you know, some kind of service of others, it's a great question to ask. And it's one that I'm continually asking myself. And sometimes I feel like I should be better at looking after, you know, my own needs, my own desires, my own hobbies, things like that. But I'm very lucky that I have family. And I'm very lucky to have a child and a husband who are very supportive and also have their own vibrant lives that I can be a guest star in and get out of my own head about my own things. You know, my daughter dances now, and watching her perform through her lens, being a part of her backstage process on her team, they compete. It's very cute. And that is really like eye-opening. It actually being with her backstage at a dance competition, like reinvigorates why I like what we do so much. And that's a wonderful thing to learn at this age after having done it for so long and being a part of that kind of space for so long, is that you lose sight of what it felt like at 13, what it felt like to get out there, to not be experienced, and to just go for it with all your heart. It's wonderful to watch. And, you know, being supported by folks around me is really, and my friends, So I really invest into my relationships, and I invest time into those relationships, whether it's doing an activity or just having a cocktail. That is what keeps me, you know, kind of in the real world, not just in the head of making and art and the theater and dark rooms. Oh, how much time I spend in dark theaters is wacky. But in the real world, I get to put on nice clothes and be with people and actually hear about their experience that don't include being silent in the dark.
I so greatly appreciate all that you've shared, because it does invite the thought or the query of how do we hold space and care for ourselves in ways that sometimes might not even involve what we quote unquote do for a living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of what I find works for me, and of course, everybody is different. Everyone has their own path, and everyone, you know, de-rolls however they think is, or they want, you know, whether it's listening to music, reading a book, going on a walk. And some folks, you know, enjoy the practice of, you know, especially in dance, like physical activity, Pilates, mindfulness, all these things that you do for your body. For me, it's the escape away from anything that relates to dance or anything that relates to movies or theater. It's things that have nothing to do with it. Hearing other people's stories, other people's experiences, other people's lives, about other people's jobs, families, dogs, kids, that it lets me leave my own world for a bit and be a guest, like I said, in someone else's.
I find that I have a similar experience. There are definitely seasons, times, and in a lot of cases, days where it does feel good to step away sometimes and investigate or explore things that are not within the realm of what I may do day to day. And I've shared this on the show before. Something as small as baking.
Oh, I only cooking is a big escape. Oh my gosh. It's wonderful. If you put X, Y, and Z together, it will taste delicious. That is a certainty that I enjoy. You know, you can really meet your goal. It's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what I find that it does, Anissa, is that when we do get that opportunity to step away, I found that for me, it invigorates me so that I am that much more ready to come back to the space and be of service.
Yeah, it's the job is odd because it doesn't have many boundaries. It's sometimes it's 13 hours a day, and sometimes it's weeks like that, you know. And you know, we talk about balance, and it's such a wonderful conversation that everybody has about finding balance in life, and that can be in any category. For me, balance equals it's not a minute to minute thing. It's not a day to day thing. Balance is the totality of life for me. There may be 2 months where I don't quit. I don't stop at 7 days. It goes, and then I'll go away for a little while, or I'll, you know, step away from it all for a while. I won't make any meetings. I won't see anyone. So it kind of evens out. Now, sometimes do I wish I had a day off? For sure. But in the end, the goal is balance in the total, not in the minute to minute, because that I find sometimes stressful. There are days that it's just not possible. There are days where I'm not going to get in a book. It's just not going to happen today. Also, yes. With the amount of emails we read for a living, sometimes a book is just not the thing. So with all of that, I guess I'm searching for what balance means. I'm always asking that question. What does balance mean? What does taking care of myself mean? And that changes because I'm changing all the time. Who I was 20 years ago, who I was even 10 years ago, who I was last year even. I have thoughts, you know, I'm constantly changing. So those values are also changing with me and what they mean to me. I may need more time during this time of year, seasonal kind of vibes, or I might need to just go. Sometimes it's just easier for me to go for a long stretch because I'm fresh, I'm fast, and I can go. And then I need to step away really strongly backwards. Like I said, not talk to anybody, not see anybody. It's finding what it is that's working. It's imperfect though. It's imperfect. It's not, I don't have like the key to it in any way, shape or form. I'm always trying to find it.
Yes, the key and the recipe I find has always shifted for me, certainly. As I'm listening to you, that resonates with me. It does shift. It shifts based on my daily experiences. It shifts based on the relationships at times within my life with others. It can shift really because of the climate. Yeah, that definitely resonates with me. Mm-hmm. And so you spoke about boundaries, which I would like to explore because that word in particular is steeped within the work that you do.
Oh, yeah. All over the place. It's all over the place.
Yes, it heavily steeped in the work that you do. And I mentioned intimacy, coordination. We are going to be going into, in just a moment, into talking about Burn, Baby, Burn, the work that's going to be hitting the stage this season. Before we do that, your work as an associate producer and creative assistant with Côté Danse has a relationship with the work that you do as an intimacy coordinator. Talk to us about that relationship, please, and also what informs your work.
Mm-hmm. I came to intimacy coordinating like later in life, I would say, not that I'm that aged, but later than, say, dance, that I selected when I was young, very young. I selected dance when people probably shouldn't select their careers, but that's when you got to do it. For me, in terms of like work life, they are two streams of passion, income, and experience for me as an individual, as Anissa, the woman. But in terms of their overlap, there are so many, it's hysterical because I didn't ever think about it when I went into intimacy coordinating. I thought, oh, I'm really impassioned. I thought it would be more like leaning on my choreographic chops as a movement artist. But in fact, what actually it leans on way more is my coordination chops. So I feel like I spend all of my time coordinating people. informing people of what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, communicating well, hearing what their needs are, and hearing what boundaries they have in place that can assist them in doing their job best. That being said, something that I've learned about boundaries, to get back to that conversation, which was really interesting that you brought it up, is that it's such a buzzword, and it's such a buzzword, especially with folks who are in their early 20s. they know so much more about themselves than we did at that time, I think. But what I've found with boundaries, especially when being in the dance world, I'm in more of a managerial position where the hierarchy really exists still. And you know, although it has flattened a lot over the years, it still is folks at the top and there are folks in the middle and there are folks at the bottom. And I mean of the latter, not of priority. Everyone is a number one priority. But in intimacy, I have no hierarchy. I am alone, like an island. And for boundaries to really be in check with other people, what I have found is that they have to be in check on both sides. It's like a handshake. It doesn't help our own agenda to go into the world asking the world for the moon while not respecting someone else's need for the moon as well.
Indeed.
So for me to ask of the folks that I work with to hold certain boundaries in place, I have to be willing to hold theirs. So we have to work together. And ultimately, that's what both things have in common. It's a togetherness of path, of feeling, of art making that leads to the desired result. So we can come at this from a million different ways. We can have access points into the work in many different ways and work with people that we, in mediums, we don't even really understand or know. But if we can find the common points, the things that we can both agree on, the things that we can both make happen, we can find that result. We can manifest the result. And we can find what we're all looking for within everyone's boundaries. But they both have to be respected for them to exist. Otherwise, the boundaries aren't valid. It's one person taking over the other. And I'm using one, but it can be a group. So over time, I've gotten, you know, more skills in terms of just managing people, managing their needs, managing their expectations, and then celebrating them when they meet them and being that person for them in their work life. And I really, that is like one of the highlights of my career as a dancer. I thought, well, it doesn't get any better than this, going out on stage and dancing my butt off. It doesn't get any better than this. I'm living my dream. I'm with people that I love. And when, you know, I'm kind of in the winter of my performance career, it's pretty snowy out here. It's the winter. Now that I've crossed over, finding that I enjoy this side just as much, it's just very different.
Stay with us. More of Turnout Radio coming up after this. Anissa, Côté Danse imagines inhabiting a space within dance without presentation limitations, offering a spectrum of works and engagements that bridge the boundaries between performers and spectators. And so tell us more about the company.
Côté Danse is a venture between Guillaume Côté, celebrated choreographer and dancer of the National Ballet of Canada, who is retiring this year. Etienne Lavigne, former first soloist of the National Ballet, who's the executive director of the Festival des Arts de Saint-Sauveur and also a producer, has produced everything Guillaume has made, outside of a company setting, I should say. And me, associate producer, rehearsal assistant. So I'm kind of the person between them. I work with both of them equally. And what I do is I'm able to support Etienne with the producing of all of the shows, the tours, the rehearsal process, the creation process. And then on the other side, be with Guillaume while he makes things and to kind of work as the official Guillaume Côté translator. And I don't mean English to French, I mean dance to dancer or choreographer to dancer, and to support his creations. And then once they get up and running, to continue to care for them, make sure that the quality is what we're desiring. And then, you know, to recast people, rehearse them, to restage any works that are in the canon that are to be remounted, and to tour them. I go on all of the tours. So it really is a lot of hats, is the truth, that I wear with the organization. But because the three of us have known each other since we were teenagers, I met Guillaume when I was 11 and I met Etienne when I was probably 15. There is a long-standing kind of truth-telling that we have become very good at doing. We trust each other. We know each other incredibly well. I can smell where Guillaume is going from kilometers away when he's making something. It's not usual. It doesn't happen all the time. And when you find something like that, that seems to land for three people, you kind of stick with it. Making dance and producing dance is challenging, mostly because of financial reasons, really, if I'm gonna be honest. It's because it's hard to do something, to make a company in Canada, a dance company in Canada. But the three of us collaborate incredibly well with no ego and quite a bit of, like I said, truth. I haven't found it this way before. And so when it landed, I think it's 5 years ago, and like 200 shows later for over 70,000 people in 36 cities around the world. That's a lot of performances and a lot of people who have viewed our work. So that much later, I can safely say, like, not only that we're onto something, but we're into it, we're doing it, and it feels right.
And the truth-telling and trust that you all have for one another, I would imagine, opens the door to authentic, organic conversation on stage through the works that are being created.
We all came from the same place. We all went to Canada's National Ballet School, and Etienne and Guillaume danced with the National Ballet of Canada. I never danced there, but I've worked there over the years as an intimacy professional and rehearsal director. You know, we all have kind of our own specialties. I went on and had a much more contemporary dance career, and you know, Guillaume soared to principal dancer, playing how many princes can you play in one lifetime? I don't know. Ask Guillaume. Just prince after prince after prince. And Etienne, who jumped out of the game at the height of his career to then become a producer and executive director. We just all have our specialties, but we come from the same place. There is a foundation there that we understand. There are references that we understand. There are ways in which we work that are integral to us that we all share. And, you know, yes, it's Guillaume's creations, but they're very informed by us, by Etienne and I, who handle the back end. But more than that, you know, I spend so much time in the studio with Guillaume. Etienne always views everything Guillaume makes. So we really are like three arms on the same person.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'd like to speak now, Anissa, about Burn, Baby, Burn. The work speaks to our collective actions, which add fuel to the fire that is global warming. Always a timely conversation. Talk to us about the theme that this work addresses.
Yeah, so the theme started because Guillaume had a conversation with his son, who at the time I think was 7 or 8, and and was saying, well, what are we doing about this? And asked him this really open-ended question, to which shocked Guillaume, because many of us, we probably aren't doing as much as we could, should, or even know about. We're not as informed about it. We're used to our lives. We're used to the way that we live. We're bombarded with the just getting through it, you know, the going to work, the paying the bills, the taking care of people, all of the things that we do. But when we started to think about making a work about it, the fire analogy and the idea that the world is burning was something that really sparked a lot of interest in Guillaume. And, you know, you don't want to make, Nicole, the most depressing dance show on the planet. You know, you want to make an entertaining show with nine, like, powerhouse performers, all from the Toronto dance community, who are just the most wonderful interpreters that you can ask for. They all have individual skill sets. They're all brilliant in their ways and all incredibly different. And you want to showcase them, their talents, and set it to amazing music that makes the audience want to stand up out of their chair. But you also want to pose some questions. There are folks amongst us who are like naysayers. There are folks amongst us who are really worried and debilitated by that worry. And there are folks amongst us who say, it's burning anyway. What do I got to do about it? And so we try and pose those questions to the audience. And more than questions, we try and show instances, situations, scenes, ideas that kind of investigate each of these ideas. And they happen over the course of the show, which is an hour. And there are some visual themes. There are also some individual themes. And I don't want to say characters, because it's not a narrative at all, but there are some character arcs within the show that we play out. But ultimately, it's contemporary dance at a very energetic, virtuosic level that shines a light on a topic that I think is always at the front of our mind. We just don't always know what to do about it. And so we did what we know best, which is we made art about it.
And I've had the pleasure of speaking with Guillaume about the work on Turnout Radio before. And what I appreciate about this work is indeed those questions that you mentioned, Anissa, and what they're asking of us. And I do think that when those questions are asked, it does cause us to take a moment to step back and explore how it is that we exist in time and space, and how it is as well that we are existing together in this global climate. So one of those questions is, can we succeed in lighting an intentional backfire before we spiral out of control?
Well, I mean, what I come away from the show and from all of our investigations into this topic is that it's everyone's problem. It's not just the people at the top. It's not just the people who have power. It's all of us in our small ways, in our medium ways, in the way that we talk about it with each other, in the way that we educate our children, and the way that we intentionally go through our lives, understanding that it is all of our problem. There are major implications to the earth that will happen within yours and my lifetime. It's not just going to be two generations from now. It's already happening. So it has to be intentional. And we have to fight back the things that we, you know, are being stopped from being able to do in the world. We are all players. You know, we all play a role on this earth. And, you know, with dance, it's an interesting art form because, you know, we are not speaking in the show. There's no spoken word. How do you do that with movement? How do you do that intentionally to make people actually feel something? Because often people relate to what they see, hear, and feel themselves, that rather than what you tell them. If you come up with an idea within your own self and soul, you are more likely to believe it than if someone tells it to you. So if you see it with your own eyes and you feel it with your own heart, then maybe it gives you an action afterwards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, how I wish that I had more time with you, Anissa. I do. But as we close, those last sentiments that you shared, when you consider the many themes that are interwoven throughout the work, what rests on your heart and your mind?
I think people, relationships. If you really care about the other, your neighbor, then you'll do something about it. It's about people. And it all relates back to me and who I am. And those are like my takeaways relate back to me and who I am and what I've chosen to do with my life, which is to make art with people, to care for people, to manage people. There is a theme there. And I guess when I walk away from watching nine people on stage, they're not sweating at the end, Nicole. They're wet. Like, it's like they took a shower. It is a very highly physical work. When I see them all there at the end of that show, and there's a beautiful ending picture of all of them standing in solidarity together, the only thing I can think of is the people inside of all those beautiful bodies, the humans in there, and what hurdles they have to jump over to reach the end of that show and to tell that story. So yeah, I walk away with, I love people. I walk away with, let's do it for each other and let's be in it together. Burn Baby Burn is like, it's one of the proudest I've ever been seeing something premiere. And it's so wonderful to bring it back to Toronto, June 6th to 8th at the Bloom Lapel Theatre. It's heading on a tour to Germany in July, and it has a bunch of touring dates, including at Danse Danse in Montreal in November. So it's got long legs, and hopefully we can continue to share the message and the story and these wonderful, talented artists around the world.
Beautifully shared, Anissa. Thank you so much for sharing time and space and rhythm with me today. It's always a pleasure, truly, to have you on the show. Thank you for joining me on Turnout Radio, and I can't wait. I'm looking so forward to witnessing this work.
Thank you for having me. It's always wonderful, and it always makes me reflect on all the things we talk about much, much after the fact. So I appreciate it so much, Nicole. Thank you.
My pleasure. Anissa, I look forward to seeing you again very soon. You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. My next guest, Carlene Zubulez, who just starred as Ophelia in Hamlet, Prince of Denmark at Elgin Theatre, is also a choreographer and screen performer with credits including MTV, VMAs, and film, with deep ties to the Toronto dance community. Join me in welcoming Carlene to the broadcast. Carlene, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I am so good because I get to share space with you this afternoon. Thank you for being here.
Well, I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
How's today greeting you?
Well, today has actually been super lovely. I had an early morning, had my coffee, which is my favorite part of my day, and headed off to rehearsal for Burn Baby Burn, the upcoming show I'm doing. And now I'm here talking to you. So it's going well.
Excellent. Well, let's get right into it. Anissa Teshpar joined me in the first half of the show, as you know, and we spoke about Burn Baby Burn, a poetic production by Guillaume Côté and Côté Danse that you will be presenting in alongside eight other wonderful dancers. Before we return to the work, I'd like to delve into the wide scope of your artistic practices. Your approach, Carlene, is one that considers lived experience and connection. And I'd love to start there as we look into the telling of stories on stage and how one readies their body and spirit. Tell us about your approach to creation processes and your interpretation of creative works that you present in.
I think for myself, I show up as human as possible. I think as a dance artist, it's easy to get wrapped up in the movement and being big and performative. And in my creation process, I like to try to strip everything down and be as human as possible. And I kind of start with gestures and human movements that I would do myself in a day. And then I like to build and amplify from there to see what I can do to extend that, in the hopes that it'll be relatable to the audience and they can kind of see themselves in that movement.
I love that you said human, because there's something quite organic about that when I consider what that means for us as we receive movement and then release it into the atmosphere.
Totally.
And so when you talk about human, what informs those humanistic approaches to your process?
I think it's kind of everyday life, in the way that you walk, in the way that you move through the space and show up in the world, but also things like climate change and issues that are important and issues that you want to bring to the forefront of the work, trying to implement all those things in how we show up to the studio and the space. I think that if you were to go back and look at how I showed up in the space even 5 years ago when I first graduated from school, the way that I come into the space and the things that I'm interested in developing or bringing forward are completely different. And it really goes along with each experience that shapes me as I grow.
In that space, what themes resonate most with you?
Right now, I feel quite passionate about coming forward as a woman in the contemporary dance field and owning kind of everything that comes alongside that, like including femininity and beauty and sexuality, but also the strength and the grit and the ugliness that women can also be. I think shaping all of that and showing up to a rehearsal space and showing up on stage in that way is something that I feel quite passionate about at the moment.
Oh, there's such a wonderful self-honoring, I find, that comes from what you've just shared. How powerful that is. Self-honoring as you get the opportunity to look within, and an allowance, really a freedom to wrap yourself in the fullness of who you are as you show up in space.
Absolutely. It's quite freeing, actually. It's funny, like I think as a young woman, I spent many years trying to wrap myself in a box and be a certain way. And once I figured out how to let go of that and how to encourage others to do that too, I really felt different and excited.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, let's talk about now Burn Baby Burn.
Yes.
The production reflects our role in climate change and also brings forth a conversation about igniting change. What are your thoughts about this critical conversation that the work addresses?
I think that in creation of works like this that are really trying to bring something such as climate change to the forefront of the theater and of what people are seeing and reading and doing, I think maybe we can change or even just adjust slightly the way we show up. Something super interesting, I think, about this work and the fire that it speaks of, the heat, the warming of the environment, things like that, is that it's also quite compelling. And just as you would like watch a fire at night in your backyard, something draws us as humans to that. And whether or not we can separate the beauty from the destruction, I guess, is up for debate.
What does it mean to you to discuss these themes with audiences?
It means a lot to me, honestly, to be able to be in a work that is discussing something that is so relevant, such as climate change, feels special, because often, or sometimes you're in a work that is more self-indulgent or something else, but to be able to perform in something that really affects every single person and the people that are yet to come feels unique and quite empowering. 9 incredibly talented dancers work together to create an environment that is super special. It's a very physically demanding show, and right from the beginning, we really don't stop and we're working together and seeing each other on stage. We are sweating and doing all this stuff together. And I think that that community orientation can kind of be felt by the audience. So come see us perform.
And indeed we will.
Perfect.
Indeed we will. Carlene, I've enjoyed our chat today, and I want to send best wishes to all of you at Côté Danse as you take to the stage for Burn, Baby Burn. It was a pleasure and a joy to share space with you. Thank you for joining me on Turnout Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
Today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Thank you. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. That was Anissa Tejbar and Carlene Zabules in the house today. My gratitude to both for joining me this hour. Now, if you missed the top of the show, you can stream it now at turnoutradio.com and via some of your favorite podcast platforms. The production Burn Baby Burn returns to the stage June 6th straight through to the 8th at St. Lawrence Center for the Arts, Bluma Appel Theater in Toronto, and is presented in partnership with TO Live and Show One Productions. You can learn more and purchase your tickets at tolive.com. Well, this brings us to a close of today's broadcast. Folks, thank you for tuning in and sharing time and rhythm with us. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance. Thank you.